Email directly at kate@canyonmedia.net. Free speech. It's more important than your feelings. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Americans yearn to explore life's deepest truths and to say their entertainment or their idea of entertainment is sex and violence and crime is an insult to their goodness and intelligence. We are people who believe love can triumph over hate, creativity over destruction, and hope over despair. And that's why so many millions hunger for God's good news. I've always believed that we were, each of us, put here for a reason, that there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. And I know now that whatever days are left to me belong to Him. I also believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way.
Sweet words from the late Reagan. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I have Uncle Milty with me. You can go to katedalyradio.com. Three words, katedalyradio.com. And you can get each hour of the show in podcast form, and you can send that out and listen to that. Go there right after the show. It'll be there. And also you can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. Happy to take on the subject of religious freedom, one that I think this show tends to take on quite a bit, actually, because it's such an important factor in our lives, the whole reason for America. In the beginning, the entire movement, as we're watching things unfold in the Middle East and in all different areas of the globe, the attack on Christians, it's always worthy of a discussion. And we have a great guest, Matthew Bunsen, a senior contributor at National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency, to join us. And so I welcome you, Matthew.
Oh, very good to be with you.
Very good to be with you. And so let's talk a little bit about global, where we're at globally in this picture right now. Where are a lot of the things happening that are a threat to religious freedom all over the world? Where do you see pockets of this going on, and where do you see this going? Let's chat.
Well, the easiest way to start any conversation about religious freedom and religious liberty around the globe is to think of it in terms of numbers. And the numbers would tell us that just if we count just Christians, we're talking about literally several hundred million Christians who live every day of their lives in some form of repression, a religious disability, economic disability, social, political. They're basically varying from either mild prejudice to genuine threats that when they wake up in the morning, they will not be alive by the time the day ends. So that's facing Christians everywhere. Now, if you extrapolate that to additional countries that repress all religions, such as North Korea, China, we're seeing religious persecution all over the globe. And then we can even add in the persecution of Muslim minorities in places like China, some Buddhist minorities, ethnic minorities who cling to have their own religions as well. And what we're seeing is a global phenomenon of oppression. And it's a very serious situation right now. And it's one that's been highlighted by the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom that just released a report a couple of days ago on the 20th annual issuing of its report. And I have to say, it makes for very sober reading.
Oh, no. I've read that more than one half of the world's population lives under regimes strictly, severely restricted or prohibit the religious freedom. Is that true? And is it more sobering than that?
That's absolutely true. And that's where we are. And we are very determined to preserve, protect, and help flourish the religious freedoms that we have here in the United States. And it's not just the right to worship. It's freedom to believe, to freedom of religion. We always have to be careful of the phrase that we need to have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. Part of that is protecting the very rights that are enshrined in the U.S. Constitution, in state law, but also in the great customs and traditions of the country. We cherish those especially precisely because there are so many people around the world who don't have them and who look to us as role models for protecting and defending them, or for gaining them in the first place, or regaining them in places where they've been lost.
Wow. This is sobering, because I don't think we realize, you know, America was built on this very notion and understanding how religious freedom would, what it would mean to us to be able to exercise the freedom. And I love how you said it's not from God, and how even here we've had our battles with this, because people want to include God in this when it wasn't about God. It was about a state-run religion. There are countries out there that, like you said, they're facing something that we here don't have experience in. We can't even imagine what it would be like to be able to not exercise that freedom. And so are there any... I look at all the churches. I look at the burning, of course, Notre Dame. I look at all of these different churches. What are you sensing with that? Because it's happening quite often.
It is. We can look in the United States, where churches are being vandalized now on an almost daily basis, where we have fires that are at times arson. Europe, I think, is a particularly important field of study in this, because we've just had the horrendous fire of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, which Paris authorities, the French authorities, are continuing to say that based on their investigation, it was an accident as part of the restoration process. Lost in some of that discussion, however, is the fact that churches all over France, especially since the start of the year, have been subjected to vandalism, to attack, and to arson, including one of the most beloved churches in Paris outside of Notre Dame, and that's Saint-Sulpice, which was torched, which was a victim of arson. So we are seeing a systematic attack on Catholic churches across France at the very time when the influence of Christianity is on the wane in much of Western Europe,
right,
in the face of especially a PC culture that is systematically, I think, pushing religion more and more out of the public square, Christianity in particular.
Yeah, it seems as though even people here, Hillary, I can name a few that even have a hard time saying the word Christian. They call them Easter celebrators. What was it?
The term was Easter worshipers.
Easter worshipers, I mean, of all things. But I know Uncle Milty has something to say to you.
I just, and I'm not aware of the rest of the United States, but in the diocese that I am in, recently, ushers in our parish have been given, in our diocese have been given a new instruction to actually stay at the doors of the church, having doors set to be exits only because of this type of thing that's been going on.
Wow.
So, that's a question that more and more is emerging in the minds of those who are in charge of pastors and those who are responsible for security. We have seen just recently the attack on the synagogue. Last year, I think there were well over 900 anti-Semitic attacks in the United States. So we're seeing that as well in Europe, where the members of the Jewish community, the Jewish faith, feel definitely less safe than they did just a few years ago.
Right.
And we're seeing attacks on all religious believers across the globe. We've had, of course, the Christchurch shootings in the attack in New Zealand. We had the horrendous bombings in Sri Lanka. So we're seeing a movement against religion in general. But we also need to focus on the plight of Christians around the world. And I say that because they are the ones under the most immediate threat and in the largest numbers in Africa, in Asia, and, of course, across the whole of the Middle and Near East.
Wow. And they're powerless. And I think that's something, they're powerless against their government. They don't have any recourse.
That's right. And then we have what could be termed intrastate actors. That would include those entities that proclaim themselves to be representative of religious groups such as Islam. I'm thinking in particular of ISIS, of Al-Shabaab in Africa. We've had Boko Haram also in North Africa that claim to speak for Muslims. They are themselves representative of the most radical expressions of these faiths, and of course have been denounced consistently mm-hmm. by imams all over the world.
Right.
But
right.
a group like ISIS, which emerged in Iraq and Syria, mm-hmm. Exercised one of the most brutal regimes certainly in the last 100 years, mm-hmm. Against Christians, but also against ethnic minorities such as the Yazidis. So right. they represent as well the kind of oppression that Yousef, the report that I was just mentioning, they're documenting that very thoroughly. But then we have other countries such
China.
As Myanmar,
what about
Eritrea,
China?
Iran.
The Muslims in China.
Absolutely. The, mm-hmm. the Uyghurs,
yep. yes.
what they're called. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 800,000 or so who live there, perhaps reaching as many as several million. And they are in the western part of China, and mm-hmm. they are Muslims who are being severely persecuted by the Chinese government, even put into camps for re-education, and the obliteration of their culture in the face of what is termed sinicization, which is part of the program under Premier Xi Jinping mm-hmm. To bring all religious belief under control of the state.
Wow. And as we have politicians that are openly for this kind type of control, does that amaze you here in America that we have youth that say that this is a good idea when you can see worldwide the issues that come from a totalitarian government?
Well, I can't say that it's too shocking in the sense that mm-hmm. and there are a lot of different factors involved in this, but part of it is a loss of historical memory. We have lost touch over the last few generations with what exactly happened in the Holocaust, what exactly mm-hmm. happened in the Armenian genocide, in which a million Armenians or so were killed by the Turkish government, a sore spot that remains today in Armenian-Turkish relations.
Yes.
We have forgotten as well so many of the horrors of the Soviet Union and of what communism has done just in the last century or so. In the Soviet Union, and of course in China.
Yeah, there's just so many. There's so many when you really start to grasp the numbers involved. And it's sad, and I'm not quite sure what we can do about it. I know we have about 30 seconds, and then I want you to come back for a few minutes, if that's okay. I want to talk about
sure.
Canada for a few minutes, too, what's going on there. But what can you do? I mean, what can we do?
Well, the best thing that we can do is to educate ourselves and each other.
Yeah. Yeah, as to the gravity of the problem, because it really is. I know a lot of people have come up to me and said, this is one of the biggest problems of our time, and I can't believe we're still facing this in this day and age, and it's gotten so much worse. And so I'm glad you're shedding light on this. We'll be right back. More with Matthew Bunsen when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There you go.
This hour. Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There's nothing that brings a hush over a room like than that. My gosh, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I've got welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty with me. Almost got tongue tied there. And Matthew Bunsen, who comes to us as a national senior contributor, Catholic Registry, and we were talking about religious freedom and what Christians are up against all over the world. It's kind of amazing to me that our youth are grappling with the idea of totalitarian governments and wanting to subject America to this when we clearly have an issue all over the world, that people come here, clamor here to be able to live their religion. And what happens when we lose that? And welcome back to the program, Matthew.
Oh, great to be with you.
Yeah.
And love the the return music.
Oh, absolutely. It does. It brings a hush. There are songs and certain kinds of music that really fill the soul. That's one of them. And I just love good music like that. I want to talk about Canada too, but any last thoughts on what we can do here? I know people feel pretty powerless on what they can do about this, the religious freedom problem going on around the globe right now.
There are two things that I'd recommend. The first is domestic and the other is international. The first is on the domestic front is to know the issues. Understand that there are going to be policies enacted. I think, for example, of the Affordable Care Act that brought with it what was called the contraception mandate that posed a genuine threat to religious freedom.
Yes.
And the more you can study on that and the policies that are being enacted, the laws and bills that are being debated, the more informed you can be and you can talk to your elected representatives, the better.
Yeah.
So know your stuff. And it's basically what we're supposed to do as citizens anyway. On the international front, support those international organizations. I think just one, for example, is Aid to the Church in Need that helps Christians around the world who are being persecuted. And a small amount of money can go a very long way. But also just keep abreast, too, of what's happening globally and talk about what's happening with the slaughter of Christians and religious persecution across the globe.
Yeah, and then be so aware, like you said, domestically, of what's going on here to take that away in pieces. Because when it's done in pieces, we don't recognize it as much.
Right. And to know the difference of phraseology. They, in some corners, in political corners, they'll talk about the fact, well, you should have freedom of worship rather than freedom of religion. What they're implying by that is that, you can worship your God in your church, but don't take him anywhere outside the doors of your church. And you can't really practice your faith and live your faith in public. It's just not something that a lot of people now want to tolerate. Well, that is something that is enshrined in our Constitution. It is enshrined in our lives and is definitely worth fighting for. Peacefully, at the ballot box, and through knowledge and discussion.
I agree. And that is an interesting turn of phraseology, too, because that is happening more and more. Words are turned into something else, a whole different meaning, and people aren't dissecting that enough. They're not paying attention to it enough. So I'm actually glad you brought that up, because it's a common theme on this show to go after what words they're using to dissect those, and I'm glad that you spelled out the difference. That's important.
Yeah, it really is. The command of language, especially in a kind of communication-soaked world that we have today, through social media, those who get to determine what is appropriate language and what words can be used, you can shape the minds and influence public opinion very strongly simply by commanding how people speak.
So
and
true.
Everything from what Pope Francis refers to as gender ideology to how we even describe an abortion as a simple procedure.
Yeah.
We're not allowed in any to use the term that we are pro-life. No, we are, as they like to say, anti-abortion. No, in fact, we are pro-life.
Right.
And
it's not a choice.
Use the right language.
Yes. Can you imagine they still call it a choice? I can't. Hiding behind that word. It's unfathomable to me. So tell me a little bit about Canada, too. What's going on there? Because this is kind of intriguing, really.
Well, we were just talking about language.
Mm-hmm.
And in Canada, one of the ways that you can command language and influence opinion is to use helpful phrases. For example, assisted suicide is simply called medical aid in dying, and the death with dignity bills are being promoted. And what we're seeing in Canada after 2016, when the Canadian Parliament introduced and then approved a bill that would legalize physician-assisted suicide and physician-administered euthanasia throughout all of Canada. And we have seen a skyrocketing in the number of actual assisted suicides and assisted euthanasia. So that has reached the point now where they constitute 1% of all deaths in Canada. Now, at first blush, that may not seem very much, but that is a number that we expect to see increasing Mm-hmm. We know that because exactly that is what has happened in Western Europe, especially in places like Belgium and the Netherlands, where once that was introduced, the parameters of what would constitute assisted suicide just keep growing. And the number of people who are subjected to it then also keeps growing.
Mm. And you were looking at numbers earlier, Milty.
Yeah, in Canada, the average number per year for the last 10 years of people dying from gun deaths mm-hmm. is an average of 858 people per year. In 2018, there were 2,600 deaths from euthanasia.
That's insane. Oh, my gosh. Is that shocking? That should be shocking to people when they see it up against each other like that.
That's absolutely right. And we are seeing this in the United States. I think as of about right now, there are 8 states that have assisted suicide laws, but ominously 23 others mm-hmm. are considering it. And we were just talking about what can we do as individual citizens, as people. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a key issue, and it falls from certainly a Catholic standpoint mm-hmm. under the whole pro-life movement. The traditional Catholic way of expressing it is that we believe in the dignity of human life from conception all the way to natural death.
Yes.
And natural death means not dragging out the torture of somebody dying from a disease, but using the science that we have today for palliative care mm-hmm. and making certain that every human life is treasured.
Right.
Again, from that moment of conception all the way to when they pass.
Not playing God. Right?
Precisely.
I mean, that's what I'm against. I can't imagine playing God. I can't imagine being in that role and trying to determine, because it seemed when the ACA came out, it seemed that they were really pushing for, oh, hey, don't be a burden to your family. Why don't you take a demise pill when you're 75 and have a kickoff party and do this as a gift to your family? And I couldn't even believe what I was hearing.
That's right. And it's a question of what do we consider to be worth living? And the quality of life is often sort of put forward as one of the reasons to kill. At a very time when we are seeing families breaking apart, when mm-hmm. we are seeing society itself lose touch of that human dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing as well that expansion of what would fall under what medical professionals, those mm-hmm. who support assisted suicide and euthanasia, would consider suitable reasons right. for someone to take their life. That would include things like depression.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, the elderly, the terminally ill, the seriously ill, the chronically ill, the depressed are pushed into the idea of ending their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it is part of that loss of human dignity across all of culture that we need to be very worried about.
Yeah.
And as we move more in the United States, we're moving more and more towards a socialized medical system.
Mm-hmm. Where they make the choice?
Then they start making mm-hmm. the choices based on financial issues.
So they've been warming us up to
yep.
the idea of this so
exactly.
that when they do it, they're not the bad guy?
That's it.
Maybe.
Well, and one of the ways that works, too, is what is covered, what isn't covered.
Mm-hmm.
There was a famous case, I think, involving the state of Oregon. In which they were willing to treat certain conditions, but mm-hmm. at a certain point, they mm-hmm. stopped covering those.
Yes.
And they are, from that point, willing to help you commit suicide
right.
Rather than provide medical care. Now, imagine what that would look like mm-hmm. On a massive federal level, which is a very serious proposal for Medicare for All and a single-payer plan. This being very, as I said, seriously proposed by virtually every candidate in the Democratic Party running
gosh.
For president in 2020.
So part of Medicaid. So your life is determined by the financial viability.
That's right. And yeah. and then there are a lot of charts that you see across the internet, and mm-hmm. this is another whole conversation, of what is your social value?
Jesus.
And what should society, what should the government be willing to invest in you
mm-hmm.
Relative to your value to society? And that's established mm-hmm. by a chart. So depending upon where you fall on the chart, that's where your dignity, that's where your value to society is, rather than looking at each individual, each human
right.
being
right.
as precious
and
worthy
yeah.
of protection.
And, you know, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We feel very similar about how you feel about this, you and Uncle Milty. And I feel like when suffering occurs, when these things occur, and later in life or whenever that is, so many lessons can be learned by those left behind. And why are we so willing to just throw those lessons out the door and say that those don't matter? And maybe we should let God take his course with people so that we can learn the lessons we're supposed to learn?
That's right. And to cherish the time that you have with someone. I was the primary caregiver for most of my family. My father, my mother, and my brother all passed from different diseases and complications. And looking back on it, it could be difficult to be a primary caregiver, but it's something that you cherish because of the time it gave you to spend with them. And we now live in what Pope Francis refers to as a throwaway culture, that when, in your view, someone has lost their value and they're of no longer any use to you, it's a utilitarian outlook, utilitarian worldview that we're seeing across almost every aspect of culture, whether you get rid of your phone when once you decide, well, there's a better model, or you end up and get rid of your wife or husband because you think you want a better model. In the same way, we are disposing of children that we don't want, either through abortion or through abandonment, and now we're also expunging, getting rid of the elderly who we think no longer have anything to offer.
Right. And we don't want to be bothered, so therefore they're expendable. It's horrifying. Those numbers are rising, and that's why I'm glad that you're talking about this and making people very aware of this. This is the last thing that we want, and yes, it is part of our system and will be. So thank you for coming on. Matthew Bunsen, you're a senior contributor, National Catholic Registry. We so appreciate you coming on.
Oh, anytime. Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show.
FM Financial Five. Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Welcome back. It's Kate Daly Show. Big thank you to Matthew Bunsen for coming on and talking about the euthanasia problem in Canada. The numbers, three times the gun deaths?
Three times the gun deaths.
Wow.
Euthanasia. And yet they claim they want to save lives.
You know,
let's take away your guns so we can save those 800 lives so we can kill 2,600 more.
Yeah. And I don't think people grasp that it's part of Medicaid for All. That's something that's kind of
not talked about. It can't be avoided. When you go into a single-payer system, then you only have X number of dollars, whatever you can tax everybody. And so something has to change. And what changes is the services that are offered, what's covered. You know, they have charts that show that up until 50 years of age, we'll treat these diseases. After 60, we will no longer treat this disease. If you have heart disease and you're over 70, we will do nothing for you. And that's how it goes. And so it, what it becomes is you're 68 years old and you have a heart attack and they say, look, you know, you just need to relax and take it easy. The end is near, you know, and we'll make you comfortable.
And you won't be a burden to anybody.
Exactly. And then those, you know, they talked about, you know, when Obamacare was being talked about, they called them death panels. But that's exactly what they are. It's a group of statisticians saying, you know, after 71 years of age, it isn't worth spending this money to keep someone alive.
Man, so horrific to me. Because you know what? You think about how many of our senior citizens are raising kids for their kids.
Oh,
they are
yes.
so involved in teaching kids history, in bringing those such important resources that they have and all of that knowledge that they have to their families. And those that spend time with senior citizens will understand and know how important
yes.
it is. And that's exactly why they want to eradicate that out. I mean, It's so sick. And I've noticed, and I don't know if all of you have noticed, 888-673-1450, have you been noticing how many young people have been leaving their family religion or leaving organized religion or leaving religion or God in general just to become sort of, I just am who I am and I can just be me and that's it. And that's all there is. I've been noticing a significant number.
3 out of 4 Christian teens walk away from the church after they leave home.
Wow.
3 out of 4.
Why is that happening? Why do you think that's happening? 888-673-1450. Why do you think it's going on?
I think that they fall prey to the propaganda out there that, mm-hmm. that you know, life is not about God, mm-hmm. love, mm-hmm. worship. It's about what we can do for ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what life is about.
Yeah.
And that's what these kids are being taught. And they're being taught also that if you want to worship something, worship the government, because that's where you're going to get your help when you need it.
Yeah. And that you're all powerful, so no need to look beyond yourself
right.
for the answer that's contained in your selfie that you're taking every day. That kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. 888-673-1450. You can certainly weigh in on this live right now. I was looking at a magazine cover of the gay mayor and his partner, and they were saying first family. And it's pretty well known that the majority of the LGBT community is not religious at all. They don't claim to be at all. And if they were growing up, they've left it. And it is coming at us, I think, from a lot of different groups. And I think even pro-lifers, we were just talking with Matthew Bunsen about this, but even pro-lifers are to the point where they believed just enough indoctrination to think it's still a clump of cells for a period of time that you can get rid of. Even a pro-lifer, I'm not kidding, that our youth are kind of taught to think, well, there is a certain window. Isn't that amazing? Usually pro-lifers are pro-lifers, but not so much in the generations coming. And I see a lot of this youth that's leaving and thinking that they can do it on their own, thinking that not to rely on God, not to rely on anyone else, and they don't need that support system. That the reason people go to church, even weekly, is to have a support system to sort of keep them on track, keep those messages, keep being inspired. That's the reason. That's one of the reasons you go.
Of course.
And there's sacrament and all those kinds of things. But that inspiration every week to kind of keep you on track week to week is really vital. If you're not getting that, what are you doing? Where are you going? Where does that road lead after a couple of years?
There is no road.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no road to follow at that point. And you know, these kids today, they have a lot of pressure on them. I mean, I'm not sure I would want to raise children today, which is a problem because our reproductive capacity is absolutely dropping to dangerous levels.
Yeah.
But these kids today, they're being taught that expedience is more important than anything. You know, yay. You got pregnant, there's a way to fix that so you don't have to take responsibility so young.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't have to take such responsibility so young. That's what they're being taught by government, by their peers.
And that number has quadrupled in the last 30 years of people leaving, of the youth.
Yes.
Leaving. That is a huge number. That's never really happened before. That's been unseen.
But this is the propaganda of the left.
Yeah.
They do not like religion. Religion...
Too strict?
No, no. It's because the basis of Christianity is to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if we love one another, we're going to take care of one another. Mm-hmm. And if we take care of one another, we don't need big government to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that's what exactly has happened. Every time government has taken something over, be it food stamps or medical care, whatever they take over,
mm-hmm.
the help that people get becomes less.
Yeah. Interesting.
And they suck up all the resources through mm-hmm. taxation
mm-hmm.
and then misuse the money, misuse the funds. People were better helped when they were helped by their neighbors and friends and churches than they've ever been helped by the federal government with any of these programs.
All through time. That's very, very true.
But our children are being taught that mm-hmm. government is the way to help people.
Yeah. And how much of it is related to politics that drives them away? There was an article talking about that, and they were talking about how politics is one thing that drives them away. The big turnoff is, and in some cases, a lot of people were citing strictness. They didn't want to be told that something was wrong, something was bad, something wasn't okay. They didn't want to be told that. They just wanted to be, everything's okay, you're okay, I'm okay, and there really are no big, big consequences.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, for example, if a teenager wants to experiment sexually,
mm-hmm.
then they're certainly not going to want to be judgmental of homosexuality as a Christian.
Yeah.
Because they want the freedom to be able mm-hmm. to experiment themselves.
And sometimes guilt separates you, and you push yourself away because of your own guilt, right?
Right. So if you're mm-hmm. not taught that, mm-hmm. or if you stand away from that, then mm-hmm. then of course you're free to say, oh, no, homosexuals don't bother me,
mm-hmm.
Because that frees me up to do as I please. Mm-hmm. And it may not be that they want to be homosexual. It may just be that they want to be promiscuous.
Mm. Interesting. Why do you think so? 888-673-1450. And what difference does it make when we have more people involved in organized religion in a nation? Does it make a difference, a seeable difference? Can you see? I see where we're going politically. I see the nonsense going on. And for those rooted in those values, I see a clear difference of where their perspective is on the world, on people, on the value for human life. For me, that's what I see. But I want to hear what you have to say, too.
When you hear the word family, what do you mm-hmm. think of?
Well, I think of a family unit. I think of your close-knit relationships.
Well, I mean, be even more descriptive. Husband, wife, children.
Yeah.
But here's the latest we're propagandized with is a picture on Time magazine's cover
mm-hmm.
that says first family.
Yeah.
But it's two homosexuals.
It's a guy and his partner.
And there won't be any mm-hmm. children from that relationship. So is that really a family?
They're calling it that.
I don't call it a family. I'm sorry. I don't call it a family.
It was interesting to see that land on Time magazine. And a mayor of all people, a mayor in California, I think it is, isn't it?
No. Where is he?
Is it Washington, California? Maybe it's Washington. But the running for president and how they put him out on Time magazine cover. Time magazine, obviously, bought and sold by our CFR, by our government, since its inception, to actually be, it was the major first instigator of propaganda. And I was looking at this cover, and boy, it made it look really good. It made it look like this is totally fine, and everything's great. And then they turned the guy that was a conservative, the guy showed up in a devil outfit, and they actually turned him into the devil in this discussion, in this article, and said how he was just trying to ruin what they had and ruin this candidate. And the guy was trying to, you know, talk to, like, say things, you know, just to get his goat. And they really they really made him look fabulous, that this was okay. And I can't imagine this cover coming out years ago, but when I look at the numbers even involved in leaving religion, even amongst that group as well, it's happening in a lot of different areas, not just the areas I'm talking about, but even that cover says a lot. It says everything's okay. Hi, and it's not okay. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to compliment you on your show.
Well, thank you.
I enjoy Celeste.
Whoops. Oh, no. You can call back. I've got about a minute. You can call back 2 minutes. That was really sweet. Yep. Thank you for that. I'm sorry that your phone, whatever happened to your phone, I apologize. Anyway, call back if you can. Wait, maybe this is him. All right. Hi, caller. Welcome back. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just want to compliment you on your show. I think
you're
doing such a wonderful job for everyone.
Aw. Well, I really appreciate
and
you calling
I enjoyed listening to both of you. I wanted to call, but I wanted to call you off the air, but I got you on the air. I'm sorry, but you're doing a great job.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
What a sweet, sweet phone call. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. We don't have a ton of time, but you can go right ahead and state what you want to state. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say, maybe the reason that there's less religion or whatever, however you want to word it, is the same reason that people don't want to answer the door anymore.
True. That's very, very true.
Yeah. Maybe people just don't. A part of it
maybe
is this generation coming up. They don't like to socialize. They don't.
Yeah,
know,
maybe so.
Reason, they just don't like it.
Hey, that's
maybe we need church online.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for that. You know what? It's a good point. Caller, you have about 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Hello, am I on?
Yeah, 30 seconds. Go.
Okay, there's a fundamental flaw with the way the Democrats and the Republicans think. Democrats would like to force you to pay taxes to help people out. You resent it because you have to pay taxes. The person that receives it thinks it's an entitlement. Whereas if you're offering it because if you're a good Christian and you're offering the help, you appreciate it because you think you've done something good, and the person receiving it appreciates it because they know that they received it because of your genuine concern for them.
Bingo. And it helps with the character of the people of our nation because you're giving from your own volition. You are doing it voluntarily.
That's exactly right. And it tends to grow that way because you feel good about it.
Yes.
Whereas the other way, it tends to be
a
heavy burden.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great thought. Government robs us of our character and our love for each other. Our love for each other, because that sincerely is where help should come from, is each other, not the government. They should be the last one, and not at all, actually. Thank you. Thank you for participating in the show and the guests. I so appreciate you. Be faithful, be fearless, and make a difference. And also tomorrow, Evan Sayet, great book on how liberals think. And also we have William Engdahl on China. You're not going to want to miss that either. Everybody have a good one.
There's simply no